Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's showtime, folks. Hounds released. 102.5, 106.3. The Game. Big Joe Dubin, Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier with his suede vintage Cardinals hat on, which is pretty awesome. On this Monday, 3 hours.
Yeah, baby.
Of the
yeah,
Chase and Big baby. Joe yeah. show today.
Do this, man.
Doing things a little differently this week because, of course, Caroline has gone on to bigger and better things. And then Jared's on vacation. Derek is on vacation. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to change it up a little bit and do a little, kind of see how things work. And so we're going 3 hours today. And
let's
do it. Willie and Jill Jelnick from Fox 17 will go noon to 3. And then the Force Company lads. Which includes Dr. Crane, will go 3 to 6 today.
So, Dr. Crane, you're working from now until 6.
4:30.
4:30.
Yeah. I've made a...
Well, I told them last week that, you know, with the different schedule, you know, Keezer could stay over for a little bit, and, you know, that way Dr. Crane didn't work as much. He loves our show so much that I guess he decided to do this.
Yes, this is all true. I mean, I don't know how to say it. It is all true.
Who's doing Force Company today?
Connor Ian. Newt's going to be there.
And Ian.
Yeah, and Ian.
The regular crew.
Yeah.
Okay. Is Colin, our acute intern, going to be there?
If he wants to stick around.
I'm obsessed with Colin.
This is kind of getting uncomfortable, but sure.
It's like Mike. I thought it was Michael Scott and Ryan in the office, man. He's the best. What's up, Colin, now? All right, now. Now, you don't need to talk. Just sit there and look pretty. All right, so we got no sleep. We were at Bonnaroo all weekend. Chase and Ricky performed the EDM last night. So how was that?
Oh, it was good. We had a nice crowd. I think, you know, at the end of the weekend, everybody's just kind of just off in space somewhere. So
best part was when you came out shirtless with a fire hose and sprayed the crowd.
It was hot out there. It woke everybody up. So,
and the best part was your set was sponsored by Chase Bank. So it was like all Chase all together.
It was. Well, so it was very good. Yeah, thank you for being there. We always appreciate your support. So it's funny. I want to do a little experiment today with the show because we're doing 3 hours.
The
show. I said with the show. So it's going to be interesting to see who actually paid attention to that. And when I say who, I mean like people here. Because I guarantee you in the 11 o'clock hour, I'm going to start getting phone calls. Like, hey, just wanted to run this by you. And I might answer on the air.
I'll do that. That'd be fine for me. I'd love that.
I might actually. Depending on who calls me, I might actually do that.
You better do it.
That could be funny. But 615-737-1025, that's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Not stating the obvious here, but I am. It's hot as hell outside, and the old AC here is struggling like a lot of ACs, and so it's a little warm in here.
You know who never struggled? A.C. Green, Los Angeles Lakers.
True, yeah.
And A.C. Slater from Saved by the Bell. Those two guys set the bar for A.C.'s. All right, you have a Nashville driving story. I love these.
I do.
Please tell me.
So I literally – this morning was the Daytona 500 when I was getting on the interstate.
Okay.
I wasn't even merged good. And, like, you know how, like, you're kind of – coffee hadn't hit you yet and all that stuff. I mean, it was starting to, and I was running a little behind this morning. And so I'm getting on at Charlotte Pike and all of a sudden I just see this like hatchback thing just flying across lanes of traffic.
Yes.
And I'm like, what in the hell? And he, not only does he almost clips the car in front of me, then goes to the shoulder and is just flying down the shoulder.
Ooh.
Kicking up dirt and everything.
Hazards on or no?
No.
Okay.
I mean, like, it almost looked like he lost control. And then stops on the shoulder, and, like, everybody's, like, trying to get over. Like, I don't want anywhere near this guy. I don't know what happened. I don't know if the accelerator stuck. I don't know if he was going too fast. And then traffic slowed because it always bottlenecks right there. And he just – I don't know what the hell happened. But I was like, thank you, Lord, for, you know, not hitting me and not hitting anybody. Like, how he didn't hit anybody – I will not know. I don't know.
Now, if you were able to pull up next to him, would you say anything to him?
I can't repeat those words on the radio.
But would you? You would say something.
No, I mean, I was like, you know what? I don't want to deal with this.
So you could do your actions by your car, like just pull in front of him and slow down a little bit. If you ever got the chance to get back in front of him,
yeah. Well, he said he was sitting on the shoulder for a second. I mean, I could kind of see him, and like he looked like he was he'd probably wet himself. So I'm thinking something had happened.
Well, I hope he's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, get me it, too. Man. Do like, not go in the emergency lane. People do that all the time. It drives me crazy. Speaking of that. You ready for the question of the day?
Yes, go ahead.
All right. Dr. Crane was not around for this, but I'm sure he's seen video. Today is the 30th year anniversary of the Bronco chase on the LA freeway.
Oh, is it?
I want to know if you were alive where you watch it, because I'm telling you, every single person that remembers that watched it. Do not call here and say you didn't watch it because everybody watched it. Now, rumor has it, that was the biggest night in the history of Domino's Pizza, that Friday night. There was also a Game 7 going on in the Stanley Cup playoffs between the Rangers and God, I forget who else. That's the Rangers won that one.
Yeah, it 94. Was Rangers and
I don't remember.
Yeah, I need to look it up.
Same they, time, Game 7, the Houston Rockets and the New York Knicks in Houston. So a Friday night going on. All that was happening. I remember Bob Costas cutting in and taking the Bronco chase and doing the play-by-play and all that happened. But I just want to know where you were 30 years ago today when the O.J. Bronco chase took place. Now, you were what, Jay? Seven, eight?
Almost seven.
So it's probably a little fuzzy, but you've seen video throughout the years.
Yeah. Yeah, I was almost seven.
Yeah.
I was at my dad's. I remember. I remember this vividly. I was sitting on the couch. I was sitting on the couch with my dad and his girlfriend at the time and her daughter and watching it. And I had no, like, I knew who OJ was.
Right.
But, like, I obviously didn't know, you know, the extent of things at this point.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was like, and remember, like, at that time, there were a lot of people that didn't think he did it.
Correct.
And so at that time, there was, like, I think I remember my dad even being like, go Juice, run, you know. but then, obviously, we learned more as we go along.
I just remember he's supposed to turn himself in. He didn't, and the guy that
– So, had they found the glove and all that yet?
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. They found that night. And so the L.A. police spokesman's like, there's a warrant out for the arrest of O.J. Simpson, and then they couldn't find him. Yeah, but
it
was –
they did it – like, if you watch the O.J. Made in America documentary, like, even like, some of the, you know, prosecution were like – yeah, I mean, if this had been anybody else, they're, you know, running that car off the road and they're arresting both of them and all that. But because it was him, it was like he got a police escort into his driveway.
He did. His son came running out. And
right,
out.
And then it's like, okay, Mr. Simpson, come on. We got to go now.
It was something else.
They go in the house and they, you know, have tea and all this stuff.
9712, Rangers versus Vancouver. I was trying to watch the Knicks and Rockets. Thank you, 9712 with all that. So
here's my question. I mean, this shows you how much the sports landscape and TV has changed. Mm-hmm. The fact that they were on at the same time is pretty funny.
Yeah.
Stanley Cup Final and the NBA Final.
I don't know where the Stanley Cup Final. I don't know. Was it maybe on ESPN? I don't remember. I know NBC had the basketball game. But it wasn't on a major network. It wasn't on CBS or ABC.
Maybe ESPN.
Could have been.
I mean, ESPN or Fox. Fox
wasn't really around. Correct, yeah.
I don't know.
So weigh in today. That's our question. Where were you during the Bronco chase that was happening? And, of course, the other big story is, Chase, the Tennessee baseball team. Did you watch that Friday night game?
Oh, did I watch
Good
that?
Good Lord.
Do you think it was a check swing that he went around?
No.
I do. I actually do. Here's my favorite. Whenever this is why I hardly tweet anymore because I'm just over it. But I put out there like he might have gotten away with a check swing. That was kind of my like I was like what a comeback win for the Vols. I mean this team might have gotten away with a check swing, whatever. And I get this response. It's like it is at the discretion of the umpire and like this whole just you know spiel about it. I'm like. Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, Vandy fans went to Twitter and were like, he swung. I didn't see him break his wrist.
I mean, it was a really close call.
Yeah, but I don't think a ref, and if one wants to weigh in on the text line, I don't think a ref, I don't think an ump is calling that situation unless it's so obvious that it's a strike. I don't think he's doing that.
All right, Dr. Crane has sent us a photo.
So the rule, just putting this out there, if the bat crosses the front hip of the batter, that is considered a swing. So, okay.
Is this reviewable?
It is not reviewable. That's why.
So you have the okay. All right.
That's why the umpire decided to tease everybody on a called third strike and send it over to the third base umpire to see if he broke, and I believe he did, but he did not call it.
Okay. All right. I remember you had to break your wrist. You know, turn your wrist.
We have a Canadian fan that would know this. Johnny has weighed in and said, it was the Rangers parade that was on that day in 94, not Game 7.
Okay.
The Rangers had already won the cup. It was just Knicks Rockets on June 17th.
Oh, thank you for that. Okay. See, my memory.
I thought that was weird that they would have been on the same day.
Okay. My memory. I know there's a great 30 for 30 documentary on the 94 Rangers team, and what you think plays into that?
There's like three or four documentaries that are centered around 1994, and they all come back to OJ. It's just crazy. So where were you during the Bronco chase? Were you around yet? 615-737-1025. We'll get to your calls. We'll get to your texts. Again, we are on today from 9 to noon. So looking forward to 3 hours. Who do we got at 9:30?
9:30, Drew Beam's mom is going to join us at 9:30 and going to ask her about last night and the environment out there. They're from Murfreesboro. So it's kind of different to hear like a mom's perspective of what she's going through when her son is on the mound in a critical game in the College World Series. So Drew Beam's mom, Kelly, will join us at 9:30.
And I have a couple of thoughts on the Vols and their run in Omaha. We'll talk about that and much more next here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Okay, I hear this song, and I'm looking for a beer. Where's the beer at? Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Monday, on until noon today. And then Jill Jelinek from Fox 17 will join Willie D as Derek's on vacation. People are going to be like, where's Derek? Where's Jared? I thought just Caroline left. They're on vacation. It's that time of year. Our question of the day, JoJo.
30 years ago today, the Bronco chase with OJ and LA and all that went on there. Where were you? What were you doing? If you remember, if you were alive at that point, you remember everything that was going on, just a crazy time. Dave says, funny story, my brother-in-law was playing pro roller hockey. If you remember the old roller hockey league in Anaheim at the pond, they put the Bronco chase on the Jumbotron. And that was a story, like everywhere you went, it was on TV. I mean, it was literally everywhere you went. Everybody's TV was tuned to that. So where were you on that day? 615-737-1025.
2916 asked us, or Flannel Fred asked us, will you also have on Stacy's mom? I heard she's got it going on.
We will try. We will effort that.
Yeah, get on that, Dr. Crane. Could you get Stacy's mom on?
I had a guy in high school. His last name was Stacy. And I was like, hey, man, Stacy, your mom's got going on, right? And he's like, you better stop.
Yeah.
And sure enough, I got clocked in practice, but it was worth it.
Hey, 0247 says, I was working at a prison in Illinois. I would tease the inmate that they'd have a new roommate soon. 0247, man. Oh, goodness. Yeah.
So a lot of people have brought up the, you know, the check swing or what have you, and this is going to be a thing that you just have mixed reviews on. Like some Vols fans are going to say like, ah, no, it was close, it's fine. Others are going to say, nope, he went around.
Yeah,
I mean, I thought it was really really close. I thought he might have broken it. However, if I'm that umpire, I'm thinking to myself, there's no way in hell I'm going to let this game end like this.
Well, Jeff says, I believe the third base ump was looking for him to break the bat past parallel with the front edge of the home plate. And like Joe said, it would have to be so obvious to call in that situation. A better question would be, why did the ump not call the pitch the third strike, as so many believed it obviously was? thus bringing the same result? That's a good question, Jeff.
That's a good question, too. I had a few questions with that, and I kind of got into an argument with Jared over this, so I'll see what you think. And we're talking about Friday night, right?
Yep.
So clearly in the bottom of the ninth inning, the Vols start getting the momentum to go their way. They, they score a run, they get a couple on base. Would you not have considered, with two outs and the best hitter in the Vols lineup coming to the plate, not pitching to him to get the force out at any base?
Absolutely.
That's what I would have done.
Yep.
Like, we're sitting there watching at the bar, and all of us are going, why are you pitching to him? Like, I mean, I get you don't want to put the winning run on base.
Right.
However, like, he can hurt you. He can end you with one swing. And, like, you watch that hole at bat, it was methodical. So why would you not try and go get the next guy and put the force at any base?
Well, I got a bigger question here. How come I wasn't at this bar with you guys? Where I didn't get a call on this.
I think you were busy.
Well, it still doesn't matter.
Well, sorry.
Which bar was this?
My favorite one.
You can tell people.
The Brew House West.
Okay. Packed?
Good crowd. Yeah, karaoke night.
Yeah, didn't get. I was done pretty early. I mean, I could have. That's all right. Dr. Crane, did you get a call too or no?
No, I actually had plans as well. Different plans.
Okay. Sorry. All right. All right. Back.
What does that mean?
I had relatives that came in.
Oh, okay. It's like different plans.
You're like, mama me, I'm going to go out and watch a game with Chase. She's like, oh, no, Chase, no good. No, Chase, no.
Speaking of Chase, AJ wants to weigh in on the Bronco Chase. AJ, what's up?
Hey, what's happening?
Not much.
Yeah. I was working at what used to be Regal Maxwell House Hotel. It's now Millennium Maxwell House Hotel or something like that. Anyway, I was on a second shift hotel clerk, and everybody, including the guests checking in, were watching TV instead of doing what we should have been doing.
So, second shift, so this was like 6, 7 o'clock at night, right?
3 to 11, and I guess this was around, 4 or 5 in the afternoon, maybe.
Were you guys sneaking off in the break room to watch it, too? I mean, was it just everywhere?
No, it was everywhere. There's TVs around the lobby where the guests check in if they have to wait for early check-in or whatever. And so we were watching the TVs instead of checking people in, checking people out.
There's been, at least in my lifetime, never been anything close to what happened on that Friday night, ever.
And, people got in arguments over it then. Oh, he didn't do nothing. He drew nothing. Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
It was something else. That's awesome. AJ, thanks, brother.
All right. You're welcome.
Thanks, AJ. Appreciate it.
I'm sure work productivity on that night was
yeah, but I mean, awful. Like, it. I mean, nobody knew at the time how historic that whole trial would be.
No.
And I mean, but it
we
was.
We were just called up in that. I mean, it was just.
And that's why, like, the Made in America documentary is so good, because it gives you the backstory of likely why the result was, and it has some of the jurors. You've seen it, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
some of the jurors in it. And
well, I remember Kardashian's dad, Robert, came out and says, OJ, turn yourself in, man. And when he said that, I was like, oh, he's done it.
Well, because they all knew.
Turn yourself in.
They all knew. So Dylan on our text line said that, did you guys see where OJ had all the kids and Nicole's kids come to the hospital while he was on his deathbed to tell them something, and it was reported by the kids that they had to sign an NDA? I'm guessing he admitted to something.
Why would you admit to something at that moment? I mean,
what does it matter? Yeah.
Yeah. Let it go. There was a friend of mine, I told you this, was in a wedding. He needed a shirt for a wedding. He was in Scottsdale, Arizona. He goes to a Dillard's and he can't find something. A guy walks up and says, hey, can I help you? He turns around, it's Ron Goldman's dad.
Oh, wow.
Helps him get a suit for a wedding in Scottsdale, Arizona, like 1998 or something. And I was like, did you? He just said, all I said was, man, I thinking about you all the time. And
yeah,
a lot of people are. Thank you for that.
Yeah. 615-737-1025. Alan wants to give his OJ Chase story. Alan, what's up?
Hey, I was in Germany in the Army, and that night I had CQ duty, 24-hour duty. And what looked like it was going to be a boring night, because that's what CQ usually is, I was watching the basketball game, and they interrupted it for the chase. And I was watching the chase all night. And about 5:30 in the morning, First Sergeant comes in. Now, the chase has stopped now, and he's sitting in his driveway. And First Sergeant says, has he climbed out of that Bronco yet? And I said, no, Top, he hasn't.
Holy, what's the time difference? 6-7 hours?
7, maybe 8.
Wow. That's crazy. I mean, again, it got everybody's attention. Yeah. Thank you for the call, Alan. Appreciate
Thanks, buddy.
It.
Wow.
I mean, it like all over the world, people are watching this.
Yep. The only other thing I remember when everybody was kind of glued to the set was when Princess Diana passed away. I mean, I'm sure there's been others that have happened.
And that was, what, 3 years later?
Yeah, 97.
Yeah. I remember. Now, I definitely remember that.
August of 97, that happened, yeah, as well. Crazy, man.
So, OJ was fine. The trial didn't start until, like, 95?
Five-ish, correct.
Yeah. Or 90, even 96.
He was acquitted in November of 95.
Yeah.
So, that summer of 95 is what happened.
Right. Yeah, that it just, again, that's one of those things that, like, I'm infatuated with that whole trial just because, obviously, he, you know, he was high profile. But, like, we were talking about this recently. You think about, like, Hertz car rental, right? With Hertz, like, you see Hertz, you thought OJ because of all those commercials. And, like, they dropped him. You know, when they were like, uh-oh, like he probably actually did this, that he got dropped from that, NBC let him go.
That's right. Yeah, all that stuff.
He was in Naked Gun, like all those different movies.
Everything just stopped. I mean, and we were all just enraptured in what was going on at that time and watched the entire trial that summer of 95. I remember everybody gathering on the TV when it came out that he was acquitted at that time, and the reaction was just unbelievable from everywhere and everybody and everything and all that, but it all leads back to that chase on that Friday night, man, when OJ, there's a manhunt for him, turn him on in the helicopters, and there you go. It just started happening, and everybody's glued. But again, the rumor has it that was the busiest night in Domino's history because everybody stayed at home and just ordered pizza. I did.
Yeah. I would say, so Mike said 9-11. 9-11 was probably number one of people, like, being glued to something, like, all day.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, like, school, because it's happened in the morning, and so I was in eighth grade, and literally the rest of the day, our classrooms had TVs. That's just all we did.
Yep.
Like, the teachers were like, I'm not going to teach you anything. You're like, today is a day you can learn in real time.
It was, 9-11 was different than the OJ chase and the fact that it was awful.
Yeah.
9-11, you were in pain. You felt awful, and you wanted to do something. The OJ thing, for a lesser extent, was comical. Like, what in the hell? Huh? What? Yeah. What's going on here? 9-11, I wanted to do something right then. So it hit me differently than I think, and a lot of people might agree with that, the same thing. 9-11 was just awful for us, whereas the OJ chase, like, what in the world?
I was 14, and I know a lot of people that are, like, my age or around my age probably feel the same way. I was 14 when 9-11 happened, and I feel like I grew up more than I should that day, but it was like things really came into perspective. Like, I remember I had a dentist appointment and my mom picked me up and she was like, you know, do you understand what happened today? And I'm like, yeah. Like, I mean, you know, I had a very
good. You're like, yeah, I hate the dentist.
No, yeah, there was that. But no, I was like, yeah, no, I do. And like, you know, it was like that thought in my head of, we're going to war. Like, that's about to happen.
Yeah, and then it happened, and then it went on. Yeah, and so, anyway, that's our question. 30 years ago today, the O.J. Brockway chase, where were you? A lot of people go weighing in on what happened with all that. Coming up next, we're going to head to Omaha and talk to Kelly Beam, Drew Beam's mom, and I can't wait to get her perspective on what happened last night and, of course, the whole kind of environment that's going on in Omaha.
We will do that coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game on this Monday. The Vols advancing. And we'll play. They don't play again until Wednesday. They'll play the winner of Florida State and North Carolina. They'll do that Wednesday at, I guess, 1 o'clock? 2 o'clock?
Yes, something like that.
Yeah, somewhere in there. All right, who's our next guest?
All right, let's bring in, she's a rock star, and we love her. It's Kelly Beam, Drew Beam's mom, live from Omaha. Kelly, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys?
Have you had your coffee yet?
Oh,
husband literally handed me my coffee just as you said that. I'm out on the back patio, and I am going to sip a sip.
That's fine. You could do that while we talk to you.
Yeah. I got my first sip in, so I can say that I've had some coffee.
There we go. I have to ask you, do you have any fingernails left?
Actually, you know, medicine's a good thing. So I'm going to say I do have my fingernails this morning, so it's all good.
That's great. Last night, your son's on the mound. I know you've been through this a lot, Kelly, but in last year you pitched in the College World Series, but is the anxiety still there? Is the stress still there? Because after all, that's your baby boy on the mound.
You know, it's interesting because I get this asking me all the time, and, you know, I'm more excited than I am anything. You know, I mean, my kid has worked so hard, and these boys have worked so hard to get to this point. There's nothing I can do for them. You know, I mean, I'm anxious, but I'm not. I'm more excited that they are just getting to live out this dream. A friend of ours sent me a picture from 2016 where Drew and some other boys had gone out to play in a tournament out here, and he's standing in the outfield of Charles Schwab Field, and, you know, just thinking that was 2016, and here we are less than 10 years later, and he's getting to be on the biggest stage, you know, the greatest show on dirt, and he's getting to pitch in the biggest games, and it's just amazing. You know, I mean, God's good, and we give him glory because he's just gotten Drew to this point of getting to live out that dream.
So how old was Drew when he started playing baseball?
He was about 5 years old. You know, we started, you know, him in T-ball and all that stuff. And so he's been playing that. Of course, he played football as well. He took a stint of trying to play basketball, not his sport. And, you know, I mean, he just is, you know, I guess what the kids say is that he's a baller. He loves, you know, he loves to play ball, whether it's football, baseball. He's just a competitor.
So when you watch him pitch in the College World Series, you know, do you have that flashback to that first T-ball game and the whole journey to get here and just kind of looking at it from that perspective?
I do. I mean, there are times that I'm just like, you know, I keep a picture of his first picture of, you know, him in his uniform on my phone. And, you know, I just reflect back of all those ball practices and all that time we spent at the ball fields and then all the relationships that we've built and all the coaches that he's had, and, you know, and there's a sense of pride of knowing, you know, that we got to be a part of being, you know, letting him live out his dream. You know, he gets to go and do what he loves to do. And I mean, he absolutely loves playing baseball. So we're so blessed to be along for the ride.
We're talking to Kelly Beam from Omaha, Drew Beam's mom. And Kelly, you know, I know the Beankies really well, and they're telling me, Andrew Beanky's parents and everything, they were just telling me how close you guys, all of you guys have gotten over the last 2 years, but especially this year. Is that so great that this has become like a sub-family off the field for all the parents?
I think it's so important because, you know, this sport is very competitive, as you guys know. And, you know, I made it my mission this year specifically to really take these freshmen and all these transfers and all that stuff because it's hard. I mean, you come in and you spend all this time with these people and you're like, who are you? And so we meet. We've got the Bird Dog tailgate crew that sets up tailgate for us before every game. And Ray and Jay and Andrea and that bunch and Curtis, and they do an amazing job of making sure that we have a place to come to. We pray about an hour to hour and a half before the games. And I mean, Dean Craig, who's our FCA leader for them, he's like, schools don't do this. Like, families don't do this. And I'm like, you know, we come together because, you know, this is bigger than us. This is way bigger than us. And these kids get this opportunity, and we got to do it together. This is the last time we get to do that together, because this next level that they get to go to is so competitive, so cutthroat. You know, it's more about the I than the team.
Right.
And I wanted to give our parents this last experience of team. And to do it together is so phenomenal. Like, we stay with parents when we travel. They've stayed with us whenever they came to Vanderbilt when we played them. I mean, we've done all these things together, and we know each other. We love each other. And, like, we love the Binkies. I mean, they'll be forever friends. I mean, these are people we'll do life together with.
Oh, that's so good. Talking to Kelly Bean this morning. All right, Kelly, a two-part question here. A, what has Drew said about playing for Tony Vitello, and what is it as a parent that you love about Tony Vitello and the way he coaches this team and your kid?
So before Drew committed to Tennessee, I just asked Tony if we could have a phone conversation, because we did not get to do official visits and stuff because I don't know why, but and then COVID hit, you know, and all that stuff. I just asked him, you know, I just said, hey, you're gonna be raising my kid for the next 3 years. And he was like, yes, ma'am. He goes, I am, and I take that very serious. But what I love about Drew loves playing for him because he's a player's coach. Like, he's one of the guys. Like, if you ever see him, I mean, the whole running out on the field, sliding into the group, you know, he's out there. He is as goofy as they, any of them. You know, I think he wishes he was on that team, seriously. Right. It's so funny because he said that before. He's like, gosh, I wish I could be playing with you guys. But, you know, Tony – The first weekend we went to Ole Miss that first year, he texted me and he was like, hey, you got a second to talk? And I said, sure. So I called him and he said, hey, do you have everything you need for Carly? Because, you know, Sister Carly's kind of an important piece of Drew's story. And so he said, do you have everything you need? And I was like, yeah, I'll just exchange our tickets when we get there, you know, to a handicap section. He goes, no, I'll take care of that. And I'm like, wow. You're going against, at that time, it was the number one team in the nation, you know, and you know, you've got bigger things to worry about than us. I mean, we'll take care of it. I mean, I know how to do that. And he said, no, I'll take care of it. And so for him to call us and have, you know, the thought to love on us in that way was pretty special. And he's done that over and over again. I mean, no matter where we've gone, he's always questioning and making sure that we have the right stuff.
Oh, that's great.
And see, I think it's important for people to know that side of Tony Vitello, because we see him on TV, we see the, you know, the fire and the passion, and, you know, him not liking a call or what have you. But, you know, how important is it to you as a mom of a player for people to know that side of the coach and why right. those boys love playing for him?
Right. Well, and the funny thing is, you know, his parents are pretty much at every game. His dad,
that's cool.
Coach Greg, I mean, he's as invested in that game as anybody. Like, I go down and say hi to him before the game, and then I'll do a check-in, make sure he's good maybe halfway through. And then, I mean, we talked last night after the game, and they are just precious, Miss Kathy and Coach Greg, and they're a valuable part of the team as well. And they're always asking, is everything good? I mean, so this is truly, truly a family. We are so blessed to be at Tennessee and be a part of this culture.
It's great. Lisa Field weighs in and says, Kelly Fussell Beam was one of my color guard girls at Dixon County High School.
I'm a Lisa, yes. We grew up in Dixon County. There you go.
Yeah, she said, tell her that you heard that color guard was her favorite sport. Was that your favorite sport, Kelly?
Yes, because it was the only sport I got to play.
That's great. All right, well, now you get some time off, right, till Wednesday. What are you guys going to do for the next 2 days?
Well, I'm drinking coffee this morning. So that's the first order of business. You know, I don't know. The boys, you know, they'll get their practice in, and we might get to spend a little time with them, which would be nice. But then We may go to the zoo, and it's a little warm out here, I'm not going to lie. And the winds are supposed to pick up to about 50 miles per hour today. Ooh. So the afternoon games are going to get a little dicey. So as you watch, just know those winds could be getting up to some higher rates. So we'll see what that looks like.
Oh, that's cool.
But, you know, we're just we are staying with the Sweet family. They have a child that has SMA as well, and their house is very accessible. And we stayed with them last year, and such a blessing. And they literally called, text me immediately after we won Super Regionals and said, "Okay, when are you going to be here?"
Oh, that's great.
So we love the Peters family, and just so grateful for their hospitality of taking on the Bean family.
That's great. How's your sweet little beautiful girl doing? Is she enjoying it again?
Carly girl is living it up. She's been on, if you've not seen, on the TV multiple times. And she is just enjoying her stardom here in Omaha.
That's great. Well, a lot of people are rooting for you. Thank you for this. And we'll talk to you when the Vols have a parade in about a week and a half.
Let's go.
All right, Kelly. All right, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks so much. Really good perspective there. Always to get the parent, the mom perspective. Yeah. I mean, last week with Luke Cornett and
that's right,
Tracy. I mean, that's what we do.
The dads too. Look, the dads, it's got to, you know, drive you crazy when you see your kid up there playing a sport, and it just something else is stress, but it's also the reward too. She talked about playing for good guys, playing around good guys, having parent support and all that. So it's a cool thing.
Yes, indeed. And the Vols will have a day off and then play again on Wednesday. Looking pretty good right now. It is Chase and Big Joe, hour one of three today here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
I'm in a hurry to get things done. Oh, I rush until life's no fun. All I really gotta do is live and die, but I'm in a hurry and don't know.
Little Alabama bringing us back here on this Monday. Chase and Big Joe presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. We're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And be sure to join us Thursday, the 615 Open. You can get your team signed up now to play in the 615 Open. Presented by Gary Force Acura at Hermitage Golf Course on Thursday. We'll have delicious sample offerings from Princess Hot Chicken, Bavarian Beer House, and much more. And Mick Ultra will be there and other adult beverages at our sampling stations. And afterwards, dinner is provided by Burger Republic. Just go to 615open.com today to sign up. Really cool perspective there, you know, to get the mom's view of things. Doesn't matter what level your kid gets to, you're still going to be mom.
Oh, exactly. So the Vols play the winner of the North Carolina-Florida State game.
Correct.
Wednesday, it's a double elimination. So if they win the first game, they're in the final.
Correct.
Everybody's been knocked out. Now, if they lose, they'll drop down and play Wednesday afternoon.
Yep.
And that becomes an elimination game. And then the winner of that game, just win the first game on Wednesday and go forward.
So wait, they would play.
So North Carolina and Florida State play Tuesday.
They would play, right. So Tennessee will play the winner of that game on Wednesday. If Tennessee were to lose, they'd play Thursday.
They played that night, I thought.
This is Thursday.
Okay. I saw the – all right. Anyway, they got to play again if they lose Wednesday.
Yeah, it would be Thursday. Okay. Game 13, if necessary. Winner of Game 11 versus loser of Game 11.
Good. That's better. I don't want to double back. That's good. And then they're in the final. So you win, you're in the final.
Yep.
And there you have it. And, then you look forward to playing the other bracket. And I think Florida and – who's the other team in that bracket tonight? NC State, yes.
Yes, you got NC State, Florida at 2, and then Kentucky and Texas A&M tonight at 7.
Okay.
I think this is Central time. No, these are Eastern time, so 6. Okay. 6 our time. So that's been a fun bracket, too. I've been watching that one.
It is. It's crazy how popular college baseball has become, and I think
– yeah.
You see the crowds on the weekends and everybody getting fired up and you want things to root for and to see it all happening. And then, boom, and there you are and there you have it. I want to ask you this. We're here till noon today. A lot of chatter yesterday on the Caitlin Clark thing. Did you see that?
Yeah, about the foul and
– let me tell you real quick here. I got no problem with the foul In fact, that's whatever it is. That's great. Here's what I got a problem with. Where are her teammates?
Yeah.
I'm coming off the bench, and I'm fighting. None of her teammates did anything. It's like, yeah, you're out there on your island. Dude, I just want to know, look, hard physical play is what goes on. That's fine. Knock your block off. You get called for a foul, that's it. But there's got to be retaliation. That's why, you know, Bill Laimbeer was so great for the Pistons. He'd get pissed off around the court. Rodman, all those guys. Who was the guy that – Charles Oakley would do that, you know, when in the NBA. You'd have a protector. You hit me as a batter, I'm going to hit you the next time you're – I mean, it just you got to retaliate.
Right.
Nobody's retaliating. Nobody's coming to her defense. Do her teammates not like her? I don't understand this. But what would you do? Would you – I mean, if you got – your teammate – you're going to help your teammate.
I think, yeah. I mean, I think you should be there for your teammate. But at the same time, you know, they're trying to – I think Caitlin's in a tough position because, you know, this is really good for women's basketball. Like, they both are. Angel Reese is too because yeah. – and she's embracing the villain role. She's taking it.
Great.
And, you know, I don't think this is a – There's nothing with race here. I know I've seen that narrative out there, but this is a, you know, you're going to have the good one and the bad one. That's just right. How it works sometimes. And she's taken that and embraced it. Now Caitlin has to be like, she's got to kind of take it, unfortunately. And I think she has. And so, you know, if her teammates are jumping in every time somebody, you know, gives her a hard foul, then that's actually not going to make Caitlin look good.
If you knew that that every time, all right, you're Caitlin Clark and I'm mm-hmm. whomever else, and I know that if I'm going to, you know, hit you in the head, that two people off that bench are coming right at me, I'm thinking twice about what I'm going to do because I know what's going to happen.
But I don't think she would. I think she knows. Like, I think she wants it. Angel Reese wants.
But nobody's going. Nobody even made the attempt to do that.
I think she
protect
wants that,
your
though.
Teammate.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they called the flagrant one and all that stuff. But, you know, again, rivalries are good for sports.
They are.
And women's basketball, I think, is in a really, really good spot right now because you have personalities that have come into the sport. And I know there have been personalities. But, you know, I was watching SportsCenter the other night, and one of the top stories was – you know, from the WNBA. And it wasn't about Caitlin Clark. It was about, you know, something different. That never would have been there, you know, last year or 2 years ago.
No, not at all.
And I'm glad it is. Like, it should be. You know, these are really skilled athletes, too. So the fact that you have, you know, a face of the sport now, and I think what's cool, too, is, like, everybody has kind of embraced that, okay, this girl is coming in at – you know, 22 years old and is now the face of our sport. And they know there are people that have been there and kind of setting the groundwork for this, but they've needed their LeBron, their Jordan, their, you know, their face. And now they have it.
Yep.
And then you got, you know, Angel Reese, who's like the bad boy Pistons, basically.
Yeah.
But it's good for women's basketball. It's good for women's sports.
Because we're talking about it.
Because we're talking about it.
Charles Oakley also assumed the role of the team enforcer for the Bulls, whose duty primarily when drafted was to protect a young Michael Jordan against cheap shots and roughhousing tactics of opposing players. He was given the nickname Oak Tree for his rugged demeanor and no-nonsense attitude. He was then traded to the New York Knicks when the Bulls drafted Horace Grant and assumed the same role with the Knicks. Protecting his players, protecting his teammates, especially Pat Ewing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, go protect your teammates, man. Yeah,
she. I mean, you look, the enforcer is still there. Landon from Clarksville said, this could be the WNBA's Bird Johnson 80s moment, and it could be the best thing ever for the league.
I agree.
Yeah.
I totally
They needed,
agree.
Like, they had stars, like, but they didn't have stars that grabbed you. Like, the entire country got behind Caitlin Clark because she was so good, and she played for Iowa. Like, it wasn't UConn. It wasn't Tennessee. It wasn't, you know, Baylor. You know, it wasn't one of these big-time women's college basketball programs. It was Iowa.
Let me ask you. Virgil says the WNBA, because this is losing millions of dollars, I disagree.
Who said that?
Virgil on Twitter.
Oh.
Virgil, I love you. I disagree, man, because we're talking about it. Eyeballs are on him. You see what's happening. If you're not going to watch,
I mean, he's Virgil's probably right.
What do you? But if you're not going to watch, you're not going to watch anyway. I can't make you watch if you don't want to watch.
Made your decision.
Yeah,
but here's what everybody needs to hope comes out of this, that ESPN or TNT or NBC or CBS, that they're paying attention and they realize, you know what, it's time we invest in this, and they actually get a decent TV deal. And not just a throw-in TV deal. You know, ESPN carries them, but my guess is they're not paying much for it.
Right.
And so it's like, that's what they're hoping for, of let's get a TV deal. Because I can tell you, if they came to Nashville, and that's been a rumor that, you know, that Nashville could get a WNBA team, I think they'd do well here. I really do.
Yeah, especially
if you, especially if you know that there's more personalities and – you know, you got a chance to see Caitlin Clark and what have you, but you get a TV deal, then more people are going to be paying attention to your sport.
I 100% agree.
So I don't think Virgil's wrong. I mean, they probably are losing a lot of money, but it's because they don't have a TV deal.
Yeah, but not because of what's happening on the court.
No.
Again, I got
no problem. What's happening on the court is going to help them.
I got no problem with Angel Reese did. I just got a problem with her teammates not defending her. Because we told you about there with the Oakley versus Jordan, and they go on and on. You have to have an enforcer of some type. Look, take it home here closer. Jordan Tutu, right? You hit a Predator player. You knew Jordan Tutu was coming at you.
Yeah.
And that made you think twice. Even Tutu told me, he goes, I talked to guys who said, I thought twice about, you know, pinning Paul Kariya against the wall, because if that did that, then here you come and I don't want to fight you. I mean, so it gets in the back of your head. But if you've got nobody defending you, you're going to do it all day long. Get her some help, or teammates, get off your butt and fight.
Yeah. 615-737-1025. It's Chasing Big Joe on a Monday. We're on till noon today, so keep having some fun with us here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.